If you're not involved in a scientific realm, you still have probably heard of the journal Nature, but you may not realize how intense and competitive getting research published in it can be, and how the journal handles disagreements or when one researcher questions another conclusions. Earlier this year, researchers from the University of Cambridge published findings on skeletal remains found in Kenya. One reason it garnered considerable attention was because of its conclusion that there was evidence of a violent encounter. Bioarchaeologist and ASU professor Christopher Stojanowski questioned whether warfare was indeed involved, and along with colleagues, submitted a response to Nature. So, Professor, why did this particular piece lead to you composing such a strong reply?
Funny enough, the first thing I did when I read that article, one of the projects I'm working on is trying to figure out that it's pretty common in African populations today for people to intentionally remove their teeth. And this goes back to 12, 13,000 years ago in certain parts of Africa. And I'm trying to work on putting together a map of where this practice was at different times and places. So the first thing I did was open up and look to see if the individuals at the site had intentionally pulled their teeth out, which they hadn't, so which was interesting to me.
So then when we get through that process, and when people think the journal Nature, I mean, even people who are not into that particular business, they're not scientists, many of us have heard of the journal Nature and would think, all right, this is a publication where if they publish something, not only is it reputable, it's been peer edited to some extent, you've got true evidence of what's going on, but it sounds as though at least either the premise of the piece or the way it was presented gave you some pause there.
That's correct. In fact, the process of writing a response to a paper in Nature is itself fairly labor intensive. And they have very specific guidelines. So they give you about 1,200 words. Nature won't really publish these replies unless you are fundamentally questioning the essence of the story. They're very specific in that if you have little minor details or quibbles about this point or that point, they're not interested. So my understanding is the only way to really get a response even reviewed is to basically say, we think the entire interpretation's wrong. That wasn't our strategy. We didn't overplay that, I don't think. We really believed that we had fundamental disagreements about how they interpreted that site. So it wasn't one specific thing, it was kind of everything. And then you have to fit all of that into a 1,200-word response.
So it seems as though that you're, to some extent, concerned about the way some of these stories are presented, because most of the population doesn't know much about archaeological developments. We don't know about the nuances, as it were. And there's been a criticism of media in general that you want to sell papers, you throw the headlines up here, even Twitter now, this sort of thing. Are you concerned that something like Nature is starting to do the same thing with how it presents a story like the one you responded to?
I wouldn't point specifically at Nature. I will say that there is probably a tendency related to the way information propagates, in particular on social media, that things have to be couched in a way that grabs the most attention. So that site, for me, is worthy of intense interest without the warfare story. But it was the warfare angle that got it into Nature. And I don't think any publication on that material that didn't have that angle to it would have made it into that level of journal. The process of article acceptance and peer review works at the top tier science journals. You can go online and probably read many blog posts from many famous scientists about that process. I'll leave it at that.
You study a particular era.
Yep.
Are there certain eras that scientists, publishers, whoever they may be, have determined that are really more interesting to readers, sexier to readers?
Absolutely. I mean, in Africa, it's all about the early human fossil record. A site that's 10,000 years old is pretty rare in Africa. I mean, there are huge parts of the continent that have no representation in terms of skeletal biology, massive swaths of the continent. So, and I would say that the people that are working in the area of bioarchaeology or skeletal biology in Africa are a pretty small group. There's a lot more people, I would say, working on the earlier fossil material, of which there's much less material to work. So certainly there are trends of sexiness, as you put it, that tend to attract people's attention. I mean, I tend to focus on more of getting the particulars right, and that is not writing grand science narratives. The people who are writing the grand science narratives are relying on people like me to get the details right. So I'm making sure that the little data point that I might add to some grand synthesis is correct. And that takes a lot of time, and it's not a very fast process. And it's not necessarily a very exciting process to see unfold either. So,
is there pressure to make things more accessible than as the science would suggest it can be?
If there's pressure, I would say it's mostly internally derived. No one has ever said to me, you need to be publishing more of this type of paper.
Christopher Stojanowski is a bioarchaeologist and professor at the ASU School of Human Evolution and Social Change.